Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
God is loosing your heart from those ties, because He wants you free to spend time with Him. He wants you free to soar. Some of you have let yourself get swirled into the news. You know, it was like that in the day of the disciples. There's nothing new under the sun. I have this in my hand. Someone, you had a worry that was like a string that was tied to an earthly situation, and it nags at you. And I saw suddenly it was like tied to a balloon, and you just let it go, and the thing just floated into God's hands. Let your worries go, because what you're saying when you let your worries go is, I trust you, Lord. I trust you. Saying, I trust you even with this thing that I can't fix. This thing I've tried for years to fix. I've tried for years to fix this thing, and I failed at it. I don't even have the ability anymore to try to get it fixed. But Lord, I'm giving it to you. I'm trusting you that your grace, your ability will fix it through me. Or fix it for me. You're bigger than I am. It's called the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank you. or you've carried something since you were a little child. It's way too long to carry something. And it's not been a worry, but it's been something that's unresolved. It's unresolved, and it's like been a weight to your soul. So the Lord put the tip of his finger and touch that thing and say, resolved. Be resolved. And he said, that thing that happened does not determine your worth or value in my sight. What gives you your value and your grace. Someone here, when you were very young, your identity was stolen. Value or sense of worth was stolen. The Lord says, I am restoring to you all the years that the locust and the cankerworm have eaten. For years you lived under the shadow of that loss. Doesn't matter how it happened. I am able with the breath of my mouth, he says, one breath of my mouth to restore who you really are. You don't need to prove to people who you are. I have proven who you really are. Today I give you the stamp and the seal of your true identity. And what will happen over time is it will begin to reveal itself through you. You'll begin to see more and more who you are and whose you are. And I saw the word self-acceptance for the first time in your life. There's someone here, you've had a hard time believing that God accepts you, but the reason isn't because God doesn't accept you. It's because you have not been able to accept you. This is a little out of context, but I hear the Lord saying, what the Lord has put together, let no man put asunder. He says, when I join myself to you, don't put that asunder. Believing the lie of the enemy. You see, you are my bride. Self-acceptance. I'm hearing it again. Self-acceptance. That's the issue, not acceptance from God. The issue is God wants you to accept you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God doesn't make mistakes, and he doesn't make junk. Thank you. come in to heavenly places. Let me wash you of all the doubts and fears. Remember, I know what it's like to be on earth. I was tempted in all ways like as you are. Remember, I was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So I understand. This I say to you, you are mine. No one can take you out of my hands. Forever, you belong to me, and where you live is in my heart. Asking you to let go of the way you saw yourself. There's someone that you have this is a parable, okay, but it's like a mirror you look in, but it's not the true you. And the Lord says, I love you, but I'm breaking that mirror. I'm breaking that thing because it has been lying to you. A true mirror for you. It's called the Word of God. That's the true mirror. And I want you to begin to gaze into the Word of God and see what I have said about you. Washing away all the years, trials and labors. I don't know what this means, but there's one person you've had to cover all the time, cover for yourself. You've had to put on a strong front. But don't ever do that when you're with me, darling. What I want to do is convert you into the real you that I designed from the foundation of the world. The real you, gloriously and wonderfully made. This life of pretense has to go. so strong all the time. Let me be your strength. I'm much stronger. And in my presence, it's okay to curl up and be weak if you need to, laugh if you need to, cry if you need to. Because what I really want is you, the real you. There's someone in here, you've had to be strong for so long. Even with your family, you've had to, like, present a strong front or they would take you out. But my family, my heavenly family, it's not that way. We look at a person and see their value, not their weakness. There's a person in here, you grew up and all you ever heard was what's wrong with you, what you did wrong. If you did 40 things right and one little thing wrong, that's what you heard about, that one wrong thing. But God says, I am not that way, and I never have been. So I want you to rethink your life. I want you to learn what it means to be accepted in the Beloved, accepted by God. Loved by God. I'll help you deal with all that other stuff. It's a strange word, but I hear him saying to that one person, stop being so strong all the time, especially when you're with me. Let's be real with each other. Myself to you and in you. I want to show you who I am. I want to take over, he says, in a good way. I want to bring you such wholeness, such confidence, such freedom. Such presence. I want you to learn to walk in me as one with me. I am loosing you. There's someone here. I am loosing you from your past. You have actual, it's like a tormenting spirit that brings up the past. I want you to know, he says, that is not from me. Those feelings and those thoughts, that is from your enemy. He seeks to destroy you from within. That's how he does his work. Because you see, I stripped him of all real authority. I stripped him of all real authority. So his only hope is to bring deception from within, to deceive you. And I see for one person, there's been this tormenting, jabbing, continual, terrible evil spirit. But you don't know it. You think it's your thoughts. And you even think it's how I feel. The Lord says, I'm exposing that as a lie. That's not how I do things. That's not how I see you. Tormenting spirit, be gone and never return. Lying spirit, I expose you. I break your power over that one. Be gone and never return. Now, Lord, I ask you to teach that person how to think rightly. You to fill them with truth in the inmost part so the devil can never deceive them again. And in fact, that if such a lie should come, they would literally laugh in its face. I, the Lord, have called you. I, the Lord, called you. hold you to myself. Who are you to say you are no good? Who are you to say I am not worthy? Who are you to say I'm not forgiven when I say you have been forgiven? Says, if you trust me, I mean trust me with your life, your decisions, and your walk, I will lead you into territories you've never seen, abilities you've never known. By my grace. But see, trust is key, because if you don't have trust, you're always balking. Like a horse that has to have a bit in his mouth to be turned one way or another, to be goaded, to go, or to pull, to stop. But what did I say in my word? Don't be like the horse that has to have a bit in his mouth. See, when you trust the Master, I can lead you into new territories, and what you have to trust is that they're greater than your current territory. They may look strange, until you get acclimated. But you have you not asked me to bring you into greater places in me? I know you have. So then why do you balk when I try to bring you into something new? Because it doesn't seem right to your intellect. Let me ask you something, says the Lord. Who's smarter? By your behavior, are you telling me that you're smarter? I love you, but you're not. See, what I want to do is remove your entire past and your old life and the way you did things and the way you thought about things. You know, things in heaven are so different. The way we think about things in heaven. About things in heaven is so different. I'm bringing you to a new place, he says, if you will go. Like to show you the throne room. I'd like to show you where I live, says the Father. I'd like to show you the treasure chests of heaven. I'd like to show you the great storehouses and treasuries. The inner workings of the temple. The temple is vast in heaven. What father does not want to show his children everything about the kingdom. Let me release you from earthly ways and earthly worries and earthly trials. Didn't I say, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest? See, I want to make you completely new. But to do that, it's like I have to get you to release the old ways of thinking. There's someone here, you still have regrets. You look back and say, well, what if I would have just done that? What if I wouldn't have done this? Maybe if I'd have done this or that differently. I see this, it's almost like a knot. Got you tied, you know, and the Lord says, I'm loosing you. I'm loosing you forever from regret, from shameful thoughts. See, when you come with me, he says, you're going to have to think new because I want to give you new things. I see a door opening in heaven. It's very bright, and I don't know if it's for everyone in this room, but if you can receive it, I believe God is opening a door that I actually think it has not been opened before. Show you many things. I want to open the word to you. I want to give you so many things. I am limitless, and I have promised so much to my children. I've already purchased it. I've already bought it. I've already paid for it, but so few of my children will come and collect. So so few of my kids will come with boldness and say, that's mine. That's mine. That's mine. Never take it. That's mine. The word says it's mine. I'm not taking it. See, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'll take it. Refreshing can be gotten by faith. That's mine. That's mine. I'll take it. The word says it's mine. That's mine. It's mine. And I'll take it. That's mine. The word says it's mine. So I'll have it. See, that's pleasing to the Lord. You know what's not pleasing? Those who shrink back, the word says. People who shrink back are not pleasing to God. They say, well, I don't know if I'm worthy. I don't know if he wants that for me. Did he die for it? Then don't be one of those that shrink back and say, oh, I just don't know if I can have it. Well, what made you so special? That you were left out of the covenant. No, that's wrong thinking. That's mine, he wants you to say. That healing, that's mine. Healing, that's mine. That healing, that's mine. That healing, it's mine. Someone's getting healed in their foot, their heel. It's your foot and your heel. Your foot and your heel. That's mine. That's mine. And I'll take it. It's mine. That healing is mine, say. That healing in your neck. It's mine. That healing is mine. That refreshing. Someone needs the refreshing of the Lord. That's mine, that refreshing rain from the Lord that refreshes my soul. That's mine by faith too. Say, you need refreshing, I'll take that. That's mine. Because he bought and paid for it, and your name is on it. There's a tag in heaven. It's got your name. Don't shrink back. Say, I'll take that. Freedom from headaches. Who's that? That's mine, and I'll take it. That's mine. The new land, the promised land. What about that? Every place on which your foot shall tread, I have given to you, have given to you, have given to you, have given to you. What do you say about that? You say, that's mine. Were you called to do something for the Lord? That's mine. That's how you get it. You get it by faith. You get it by faith. What about someone's soul? God promised you. You have a promise from the Lord about someone's soul, but they haven't come in yet. You know what you say? That's mine. I believe it. I see it. I picture it. They are yours wholeheartedly. Because that's mine. If you have a promise from the Lord, it's already done in heaven. If you have a true promise that's truly from the Lord, it's a scroll that's already written in heaven. And the only way, I said the only way, I said the only way to bring it to earth, whining won't bring it, begging won't bring it, hoping won't bring it, faith brings it. That's mine. That scroll of promises. There are some promises that are individual to you. I see documents in heaven. Do you know when I was first called? It was impossible. There was just no way. I was young and shy and didn't know a thing. And I was sitting in church and I knew I was called. I knew it. I knew it. But who would believe that? And I looked up and saw a document. And they were ordination papers from heaven. And I knew they were mine. And I knew that it was impossible in the earth. There was no way that could happen in the earth. But I know God. One thing I do know is my Father, when He says something so, it's so. It's not about you. It's about what He has said. It's not about you. It's not about your ability. It's about what He has said. What has He promised you that has not come to pass yet? Don't worry about the timing. Don't worry about people. Don't worry about what it looks like. Don't worry about having the ability. I promise you, I have no ability to do this stuff. We don't do it because we have the ability. We do it because He said so. And our ability comes from Him. So if you have the guts, think about the promises that He has said to you. No matter what it is. What hope has He given you? What promise has He said? What document is there? What scroll is there in heaven with your name on it? Has God given you promises in the secret of the night? Take that promise right now and say, listen, I don't know your timing, and I don't know how you're going to do it, and that's not my problem. But this I know. If you have promised this, it's mine. Not because I'm worthy, not because I'm able, but because You cannot lie. And You have spoken. You have uttered it out of Your mouth. And once You've uttered a thing, it is eternal. It is significant. It is finished. And our job is just this, to bring it to earth. There's someone here whose husband lags behind you in the Lord. And you've prayed and you've talked to God about it many times. Begin to believe it. Begin to say, that's mine. Begin to picture him running ahead of you in the Lord. You have running to keep up with him. Picture it. Believe it. Listen, all things whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you have received it and you shall have it. How do you believe you have received it? You start thanking God that it's already done. Use your imagination. Picture it done. See it done. It's not mind control. It's faith. It's faith. Faith pictures it done. Faith sees it done before it's done. Faith sees it as done. I'm going to say it again. All things whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you have receive them, and you shall have them. And can I say this? If you don't believe that you've received them, you won't have them. I see scrolls being released from heaven, documents being released from heaven into earth through that open door. Thank you. someone that had a promise many, many years ago. And it took so many years that you kind of gave up on it and you said, I guess maybe that wasn't God. Maybe that was just me. Maybe I just wanted that. And I saw this promise come from the past, like, just come to the forefront. And God says, you may have forgotten, but I have not forgotten. Think how many years it took Abraham. Think how many decades it took Abraham. How many decades did it take Moses? Ready for it, and I'll tell you why. This is a different day we're living in. And so I'm doing a thing in the earth. I'm calling people from the back of the line to come to the forefront. I'm going to use the unusable. Seeing a picture of a great battleship. And they're giving the call for all hands on deck, and everyone from the bottom level to the top level all comes. Every single one. I mean, even the cook, the guy that cleans the floor, every single one, all hands on deck. And the picture I'm seeing is they are suddenly in uniform and in formation, and they're receiving the commands. See, before this, it was all training. They were in training. But now, this is the real thing. They're finally having call to arms. Issuing, if he's putting stripes on people's shoulders who had no stripes. I see promotions in the spirit. I see people being handed, like their commanding officers handing them a scroll. It's got a red seal on it. All hands on deck. I saw even the lowest guy looks like, you know, the chef that lives down in the galley all the time. And I saw him getting a promotion and a scroll and instructions. And I saw that he took it even more seriously than some of the others did, because he understood what an honor and a privilege it was. And he understood that he didn't deserve it. Some of the others thought they'd earned it. But this one knew he hadn't earned it. He knew he had nothing to offer except just how to cook the meals. And he knew it was a wonderful honor and a privilege to be called to arms. And I saw in him a determination to do well for the king, to put everything he had into it. And the Lord said, the least will be the greatest. some of the very least that were unusable, not clever, didn't have abilities, I will use the most. And some that thought they were great will find themselves in the back until they understand. The Lord says, I am the only one that is great here. And those that get that will carry my greatness. But those that think they are something will have to wait. I'll still use them, but not till they get it. Those that have sat in the seat of judgment and have judged others will sit far behind and watch those that they thought unworthy. They will watch them do miracles and say, why didn't you use me? Send them out one by one and two by two, four by four. You will see people that you thought unusable go. Because you see, I measure based on the heart, not the outward appearance. You will see people that you called slow, used mightily of God. You will see disabled people. You will see people who are socially inept being used mightily. People that had nothing to offer. You know why? Because they get it. They know they had nothing to offer. And I will use them, and I will show my power. I will show my greatness through a people. See, I will not share my throne. I will not share my glory. I will not share my greatness, except to those that know it's only mine. And when I find a vessel that's empty of themselves, I will fill it until it flows with a mighty and a powerful river. People will say, that guy's not even smart. That guy doesn't even get it. And yet God is using him. And people will watch the rivers flow, and more people will begin to jump in. More and more people will begin to jump in. Then there will be a people, yes, even a people some of whom are in the church, who will oppose. They'll say, oh, I don't think that's really of God. I think that's a fake move. And they will judge it. And this has always been the way. It was the way when I walked the face of the earth. The religious hated the move of God. They did not know the day of their visitation. But you will know. Make no mistake, there will be a persecution, and most of it will come from the church and some from the world. Some of you will leave behind everything you've known to follow Jesus, just as the fisherman did, just as the tax collector did. You'll leave behind everything you knew to follow Jesus and to make his name great. I'm giving you fair warning now. I'm giving you time to absorb this. Some of you will find yourself walking away from other things. You'll walk away from other things and even from friends and activities that you love, because there will be a strange drawing in the spirit. You'll find yourself going into the living room or back into your hiding place. Something just like this, where you're just rested in me, and you'll hear your marching orders for the day. You'll hear directions. Your eyes may see things that put things in a more true light. Things that worry you or bother you will suddenly come clear in my presence. I'm going to train you, if you're willing to be trained, how to walk in a brand new life. It won't look anything like how you've walked in the past. It's not that that was wrong. It's just that this is a new thing. I do a new thing. I do a new thing in you, in your heart, in your mind. And some of you will become like children, like little children, like little preschoolers who laugh and play with such freedom in my presence and call me Daddy or Abba or Papa. And you'll learn how to stroll with me and walk with me and talk to me, how to have fun with me, how to enjoy each other, and how to fall in love all over again with the Savior. Some of you lost your edge. You love me, but you got kind of crusty. You know, from life on earth it happens. But deep down you never stopped loving me. You've loved me with all your heart. But you just got kind of crusty. I see a picture of the Lord. It's kind of funny. He's got a little chisel, like a sculptor. He's got a chisel and a hammer, and he's gently knocking off some of that crusty, hard, rocky exterior, right? Sometimes we develop that on the earth, and we have to put up with too much for too long. We get a little crusty. You know, Jesus is so dear. He doesn't get mad about it. He just says, well, let me get my chisel and help you. Let me circumcise your heart afresh and anew. Let me make you new again. It's so easy for me. But I do require your cooperation. You know, a statue has to stand still long enough to let the sculptor work. If the statue's running around, the sculptor has to wait. I'm doing a new thing in your insides and your outsides. I'm doing a new thing in your heart and your mind. I'm going to put a truth in you, deep in your soul. But it will also bubble up to your understanding and your intellect. Don't worry if I give you revelation in your heart before your head understands it. That's how I often do things. Some things you will learn from experience or from revelation of being in my presence, and then it will begin to come forth as an intellectual understanding, and you'll begin to see it everywhere you look in the Word. Or even as I do it in the Spirit, you'll say, oh, that's what that scripture meant. When you're sitting under the presence of the Spirit of revelation, things will open, understandings will open. The spirit of wisdom and revelation will open to you understandings of the things in earth and the things in heaven. How things work. How to work with situations. How to walk through the process, always finding victory. That's what he does. That's who he is. Make good friends with the Holy Spirit. Some of you have only known God intellectually, but you love him with your heart. But as you get to know the Holy Spirit, and as you honor him, honor him in your home, honor him in your heart, honor him with your speech, honor him when he wants to say something and you would have said something else, say what he says. Or when you would have given someone advice and he gives you a little check, a little hold it in your spirit, just keep your mouth shut. He knows what that person needs, and sometimes it's not our advice, even if we're right. Honor him in your home. Make way for him. Give him space. In your heart, let him rule and reign. See, when you honor the Holy Spirit, you are honoring Jesus. When you honor the Holy Spirit, you are honoring the Father. And you're giving him rulership in your body. You're giving him rulership in your heart and your soul. And when he has jurisdiction wholly and completely over you, it's awesome, because then he can heal whatever so quickly. It's so easy for him when he's got full rule and reign, you see. But if we have little areas that we don't let him flow in, then he can't, because we have tied his hands. He wants to heal. He wants to use you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you words and gifts. Everything he has. If he could, he would let you flow in the fullness. It's us that stops him. It's not him that stops us. We're the problem. But as we open more and more gateways through right, holy choices, as we open more space in our home and our heart and our mind and our thoughts, and especially our choices and decisions, then he comes and fills it with his presence and glory. It's like if you were to buy a home that was foreclosed on, and it was a real wreck. The people had wrecked it, and it was stinky and had mold, and it was, you know, crooked. And you begin to, if you owned it, you might go in and you might have it strengthened, and you might rebuild the structure, and you might clean it out really good, and you might fix it up. And by the time you're done, it's a glorious habitation. You understand that you are that house. You and me, we're the house that needs reconstruction. And when we think we don't, when we think, I'm doing good. You know, I've gotten rid of the five big sins. I'm free from those. I'm good the way I am. Well, all he can bless is what you've given him access to. It's all he can fix. Some of you are only letting him mow the yard, but you're not letting him deal with your foundation and your structure because you're so smart. But you know, next to God, we're not so smart. Some of you have a stinky, moldy, rotten basement. Talking about a parable here. And you say, oh, I don't want him to see that. You know what? You do want him to see that. You want to invite him in and say, this basement it stinks. Holy Spirit, come in. I don't even know how to fix this. But anything you want to do, you do. And I got this pantry, Lord, you know, and I need some help with that. I got this closet over here. I need some help with that. See, whatever you yield to him and work with him, you can't fix it by yourself. Not possible. I don't care how smart you are. It's not possible. And he won't fix it without you. He's your co-laborer. He won't ever do something without you making the choice. He'll present it to you. If you say, change me, Lord, he can't. You know why? He has to have your permission in each and everything. And we are the result of decisions we've made because of all the stuff we went through. Someone here, you've developed a hard shell. You had to be tough, you had to be loud, you had to be a takeover person because of the way you grew up. You had to. God is not condemning you, but he's saying, will you yield some of those things to me? Because I desire to bring the real you forth, and the real you is lovely. The real you is glorious. The real you is actually kind. The real you has the compassion of God, is soft-hearted, and cares for people. But that has been so covered over with the strong, somewhat harsh you. And I understand you had to do that to survive. I get it. But this is me you're talking to now. And I love you with an everlasting love. But I do want to change you. But I can't do it without your permission. I won't. Because I've chosen to give every person free will. And so the people you meet who are ugly or mean or sassy or unkind or critical or judgmental, they're that way because of what they lived through and the choices they made deep in their soul, how to respond, how to survive, how to handle it. That's why they behave the way they do. But be like me and look on the inside. You see, I don't look at your outsides. I'm aware of them, painfully aware of them. But I don't look at that, nor do I judge you based on that. I look at your insides. And what I want, darling, dearest, beloved, is to take what's on the inside and release it fully so that it is fully known in the earth. Because that is how you will manifest God. And that is how you'll manifest the power of God, the word of God, the faith of God, the miracles of God, the gifts of God. That is how you will manifest me in the earth. You say, I want to become like you. Well, you are, but only in the spirit, in your born-again spirit. You are like me. But who can see that? No, you see, what people see and what they encounter is what you've chosen over the years. A million choices of this is how I'll do life. This is how I'll present myself. This is how I'll survive when somebody's mean. This is how I'll respond if people are critical. Somebody picks on me. This is how I'll respond. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying there's something better. Who I made you to be. The glorious image of me on the inside of you, which is trapped by your outer man. Will you give me the reversal of those decisions? That's how easy it is to be set free. This is how easy it is to be set free, is to see I made a mistake, I blew that, I made a wrong choice, I chose to act rough, or I chose to defend myself, or to go on the offense so they wouldn't get me, or to control things so it couldn't hurt me. And when you see it and you say, Lord, I'm sorry, that was me putting myself on the throne. I don't want to be on the throne. I repent of that. And you be specific and you repent of it. You say, from this day, I yield that area wholly to you. And then he'll show you another one. And those of you that think you're rid of them all, I promise you, we are not, and I'm not. We just haven't seen them all. And you know how I know that? If you don't look at me and see Jesus Christ manifested, is I'm not there yet. So those who say, I have this, I've been through my healing, I don't believe it. Until we look at each other and see Jesus manifested, and I don't mean 5 minutes out of the day when you had a good moment in the Spirit. Well, I can look like Jesus when I'm in the Spirit. But let me tell you something. If God points something out to me, often something I don't even realize was there, I'll tell you this, I am quick to repent. I'm so sorry, Father, I didn't see that. I'm sorry. I repent of that. I name it and I say that's sin. That choice, that was a bad choice, that's sin. I renounce it. And in its place, Lord, I embrace your word. I embrace your Spirit. I want your way. Even if it, I feel like, leaves me vulnerable, because now my trust is in you to protect me. Because people can't hurt you, really. Their words can't really hurt you unless you give them credence. Once you know whose you are, I mean, you really get it. When you really get whose you are and what you're here to do, you don't care what people say. Because what do people know? People don't know anything. They didn't even get it who Jesus was. Guys who spent their whole life in the Word, reading about the Messiah, their entire life was to lead the country spiritually, didn't even know who he was when he showed up. Your intellect will not get this one. Change is very simple. But let repentance become a good friend. Repentance, it's not insulting. It shouldn't be embarrassing. We shouldn't have pride that says, I'm good the way I am. Well, then you're only deceiving yourself. Now, are you forgiven? Absolutely. Are you made in the image of the Father and you're born again spirit? Absolutely. And if your body passes away, your spirit will step right over. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But if you want to be used in this earth to do something for Jesus, that's a different matter. We have to break off that crust, that outer vase, that shell of hardness. We have to shed the thing that traps the Spirit of God hidden. See, we have a treasure in earthen vessels, but how we have hidden it with our personality and our ability and our pride and our doctrine. We have hidden the glory of God that is within. And all God is asking is that we yield and yield and yield and yield and continue to yield and yield some more and then more and then more. Because as we do, more and more of his Spirit in us can freely flow, doing the very thing we desired, the very thing we longed for and asked for and hoped for and believed for. He already bought and paid for it. But he would like to see it manifest in the earth, and especially in this day. The world has grown darker. The world has grown much darker. God wants a people that grow brighter and brighter and brighter. Yes, the disparity will become more clear. You see, some years ago it was so gray you couldn't tell who was who. God gave me a vision many years ago, probably in the 80s. In this vision, I saw a picture of the United States and all the people, just millions of people, and they all just looked gray. You couldn't tell who was saved and who wasn't saved. They all looked alike. Then as I watched, I saw the form of a man take place in the center, and it began to grow brighter, and the others began to grow darker. I watched the body take form, and it actually was raised up higher than the others. The others grew darker and darker, and the light grew brighter and brighter. Some people who were in the darkness jumped on and grew very bright. Others jumped off. They didn't want it. They rejected it. But at the end, all you had to do was look, and you knew exactly who was a follower of Jesus Christ and who wasn't. There could be no more gray. There could be no more gray. And that day is coming. Some will jump off because they say it's too hard. I don't like the persecution. It's too much for me. I didn't know we were going to do that. See, the persecution, that's for other countries. Some will jump off and say, well, I didn't really, you know, I said the sinner's prayer because I didn't want to go to hell, but I didn't really mean I would die for Jesus. I didn't really mean I would take this kind of heat. And they'll jump off. And others will say, I'll do anything. Sign me up for Jesus Christ. I don't care what they do to me. I want to serve him. And I want to blaze. I want to blaze with a bright light, so very bright. Lori had a dream where we were driving a car and there were almost no cars on the road. A vehicle is usually a ministry. There were almost no cars on the road, and our headlights were bright, very bright. Well, you know what that means to me is the days are coming when some may say, this is a little too hard. I didn't mean this. But I commit to the Lord every day. Give me the guts. Give me the grace. Give me the courage. Don't let me wimp out. Don't let me make a mistake. And if you see I'm going to be weak, kill me. Kill me. I'm not kidding. I don't want to blow it. But I believe that because the Bible says, as the day, so will your grace be. I believe that those who are sold out to Jesus will blaze more and more brightly without apology. Without apology. And don't mix this up with politics. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Some people don't want to hear that, but you know what? When you really love Jesus, somehow it's actually water to your soul. Peter, when they went to kill him, he said, I'm not even worthy to be crucified like he was. Let it be that I could be crucified upside down, because I'm not even worthy to die like he did. Could we have a heart like that one? So I believe this is actually a wonderful day. We'll see a lot. Don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by all the stuff they're saying. Don't be moved by that. Just keep running into the presence. Keep running into the presence, because some of you, I'm saying it, some of you are going to become very great in God. Some of you are going to be given a voice where I see a picture where you put your hand up to your mouth and you call out, and it's as loud and clear. It's so Jesus, it's so God, but the loudness of it is like an air horn. It's just so powerful. It's heard, it's like heard all over the world. Some of you are going to be given a voice from God, but there's some transition that has to happen first. That's why God is calling us. God calls us to transition and change, not just because he wants you to be a better person. It's to prepare you for that great day, to prepare you to do the very thing your heart has longed to do. Some of you have longed to do something and you've wondered, why doesn't it happen? Because sometimes we have to be changed before we're allowed to do the very thing. But you probably knew from day one. I knew from day one. I knew. I always knew, but I wasn't able. I had to change and change more and change more and embrace the process of, oh, I'll always be changing. I'll change the rest of my life. One thing at a time, as much as he gives me, as much as he can tell me, as much as I can receive, I'm going to change, repent, because I want to manifest Jesus. That's all I care about. And so it is a higher calling. Does it cost more? Yeah. Catherine Kuhlman said, she went before the Lord, she said, I don't have anything to give you. All I've got to give you is nothing. She said, I didn't even have hair, was born with red fuzz on my head. Didn't even have hair. She said, I have nothing to give you, but if you can use nothing, I'm giving you nothing with all my heart. Do something with it. And he used her to change the face of Christianity in the United States, probably all over the world. And she said, what does it cost? Everything. It costs everything. But is it worth it? You bet. You bet. You bet it's worth it. So God doesn't just ask us to change and go through a process just for no reason or just because he'd like it that way. He's trying to bring you to the very place you have desired to go, whatever that is. Whatever passion he put in your heart, whatever draw he has placed on you, it's there for a reason. And if you're not in that yet, it's because there's some transformation that needs to go on, right? So God loves you. He's calling us to a higher place, but I think it's going to be awesome. I really do. And I'll just tell you, if you didn't gather this already, I talked to the Lord a lot about this. I believe things are winding up. I don't know how much time we have left or how tight it'll get. I'm hoping there will be enough reprieve that we can get our job done. But how I pray is I want to complete every single thing I'm here to do. And until that day, I want to be in perfect health. I want you to protect me from everything of the enemy. I want to get every last thing done, and then I want out of here. I want to finish every last thing and then out, get me out. I know there's nothing that this world has for me that I'm interested in except to finish that. I'm not saying that everyone will say that same thing, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. So I love you. I feel like I've delivered what I was supposed to.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com. We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.